Good morning. This third Sunday of Advent is traditionally called Gaudete Sunday, taking its name from the first line of our second reading today in its Latin form, Gaudete, rejoice, imperative plural, rejoice. Back in the days when there were only two readings, rather than three sets of three each, that was the reading, the epistle, for the third Sunday of Advent. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say to you, rejoice. Traditionally read as, we're getting close. Christmas is almost here. Rejoice. Of course, that's directly contrary to the American idiom. It's Christmas is almost here. Panic! Rejoice. Rejoice because the Lord is in your midst. To go with that reading, this Sunday, the church gives us that new first reading from Zephaniah. Zephaniah is a minor prophet. Only three chapters in the whole book. You can read it in a few minutes. But he is exuberant in his prophecy. When he blesses them, he really blesses them, frosting on the cake. And when he curses them, he carves them a new tail, all in three chapters. Today's reading is from the blessing side, telling Zion to rejoice, as Paul did in the reading from Philippians, and then also telling us why. Rejoice because the Lord rejoices over you. The Lord rejoices over you. Rejoice in the Lord who rejoices over you. And not just any kind of rejoicing. And over the top rejoicing. Rejoice as the Lord rejoices over you, as one rejoices at festivals. For festivals, think of Jewish festivals, not proper Christian festivals. Come tonight, 7:30 this evening, service of lessons and carols. We're going to try to do some partying. It's a wonderful preparation for Christmas. But it is not the Seder. And if you think of the archetype of lessons and carols, the one in England, with the image of the kids in cassocks and surplices carrying candles, marching straight ahead, eyes forward down the aisle, pair by pair, singing once in Royal David City. I suppose that's rejoicing too, but rejoicing in a very proper British restrained manner. That's not what Zephaniah is talking about. Rejoice as one rejoices at festivals. God rejoices that way. Been to Seder? Four glasses of wine de rigueur, ceremonially during the meal, plus whatever you drink with dinner. And then after dinner, the psalms are sung. And then after the psalms, the dancing breaks out. That's rejoicing at festivals, Jewish style. It's what Zephaniah says God does over you. The Lord God, the creator of the universe, after six cups of wine, slightly tipsy, standing up with a handkerchief in one hand and grabbing somebody by the other hand and leading the line dancing around the room. God rejoices over you like that. Should you not therefore rejoice in the God who rejoices over you in that way? God is in your midst. God is rejoicing over you as one rejoices at festivals. Therefore, rejoice. We have easy reason to do that this morning. We have a baby drowning. A few more minutes. He's coming up to join the family. We do that, we rejoice. Can you not rejoice when you do that? Yet at the same time, you do anything involving babies or children this morning, aren't you hearing echoes somewhere of a fancy suburb in Connecticut, where today is a day of mourning? There's 20 of their kids and 6 of their grown-ups have been blown away. No rejoicing there. How do we deal with the conflict between the rejoicing and the horror? Well, let's look a little deeper. Let's use John the Baptist to help us look a little deeper. He certainly begins to present the other side of this. He doesn't sound like exuberant rejoicing. He calls us a brood of vipers, warns us to flee from the coming wrath. The axe is laid to the root of every tree, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Rather strong fellow. Sometime every Advent, you should go out to the Baltimore Museum of Art, to the Sculpture Garden. The Sculpture Garden is great because it's outside the museum proper. You don't even have to pay the admission fee to get in to the Sculpture Garden. And there's a wonderful statue there of Elizabeth at the Annunciation, a Visitation, which we'll talk about in due course. But then about 30 feet away from it, it's a statue of John the Baptist. Strong, angular, sort of modern pieces of steel type sculpture. If you get close enough to it and look at it piece by piece, it's hard to tell that it's supposed to be a human being. But when you get back a little and see the perspective, yeah, that's clearly John the Baptist. You can hear that kind of roaring from that John the Baptist. What is that roaring about? And how does it relate to the rejoice in the Lord always? Again, I say to you, rejoice. Yeah. Something needs to be brought into line. Something needs to be adjusted. John is saying, change your hearts. Change your ways. Change your lives. Big changes. Those who have two cloaks share with those who have none. Those who have food do the same. That was a major change. I mean, it was nothing new. It had been the goal in Israel forever. But to actually do it, that would be a major change. It's been a major part of our goals forever. To actually do it, it would be totally countercultural, wouldn't it? I mean, why are we supposed to panic on Gaudete Sunday instead of rejoicing? Because we haven't spent enough money yet. Go out and buy more gifts. Go out and buy fancier gifts. And I can give fancier gifts than you can. Therefore, I am a higher status person than you are. Or you can decide you want to be a higher status person than me and give me fancier and fancier gifts, which may be even better. It's about acquisition. Yeah, right. Where does acquisition lead? It's not quite as much on everybody's mind as the disaster in Connecticut. Because they don't look like us. But how about the fire in Bangladesh? This is a clothing factory. Manufacturing fancy brand name clothing for companies in the United States. When the fire broke out, the supervisors told the workers to go back to work. It was just a drill. It was 184, I think, people that were killed. So that we could get the lowest possible prices on our Christmas gifts. Is that stop collecting more than what is prescribed. Do not practice extortion. When we exalt ourselves and our own immediate welfare above the welfare of our sisters and brothers, there is no cause for rejoicing. God has made us in God's image and likeness. When we grow in that image, when we grow in that likeness, there's where God rejoices over us. When we're moving away from that image, how can God rejoice? How should we rejoice? There's going to be a lot of talk, I hope, in the coming weeks about what do we do as the result of this shooting in Connecticut. As the facts are beginning to come out, I think the case becomes unable to be disputed. The coroner reports that every one of those children suffered multiple gunshot wounds. They were not just shot, they were shot again and again. With an assault weapon that a deranged kid had taken from his mother's arsenal. And his mother had an arsenal because she was a doomsday prepper. She lived in a $500,000 house in a very exclusive area in Connecticut. But she was as crazy as those people you read about on TV or watch on TV, whom you think are, you know, off in the boonies somewhere just doing things that crazy people in the boonies do. This is a wealthy suburbanite divorcee, $200,000 a year payment from her husband, who's collecting military weapons to protect herself from the end time. The end time came for a couple dozen families because her son just took the weapon, killed her, went to school, killed everybody he could get his hands on. There's going to be a lot of talk about that, and there should be. Hopefully, there will be some action on it. Is the Second Amendment that absolute? If it is, maybe we should repeal it. People may have a right to carry a gun. Questionable, I think, but maybe. Clearly, at least in this country, have a right to keep a gun at home to protect their home and their property. But does that mean people need military weapons? High-capacity magazines? Shouldn't that be illegal? Shouldn't we, be confiscating those? Not just stop manufacturing them and leave 10 million of them out there, but make it illegal to possess them, melt them down? There'll be that discussion. And there should be. There probably will not be a discussion about the fire in Bangladesh, because those kids don't look like us. Those kids are not American. Those kids are not cute six-year-olds. They're hardworking 17-year-olds. Shouldn't there be? When we give in to American culture and decide that Christmas is about how much can I give and how much can I get, how much can I spend, and how elaborately can I do it, and we go out to Walmart and buy stuff made in Bangladesh, are we buying into that? Should God rejoice over that? Can you imagine God leading a line dance, singing about our behavior in those circumstances? We're called upon to rejoice. But we're called upon to rejoice because God rejoices over us. John says, okay, you want to do that? You've got a little something to rejoice over. Take a step. Move forward a little bit. Grow in my image and likeness. Not asking anything elaborate. Just share with your fellows. Give away your second cloak. Give away your spare food. Stop collecting what more than what is prescribed. Stop grabbing for more than your fair share. Stop oppressing the poor. Stop the extortion. Stop the false accusation. Live in peace. Reach out to one another the way I reach out to you. It's a simple message, but a radical one. It goes contrary to the whole American culture. But maybe, if we are shocked enough, at least by Connecticut, if not by Bangladesh, maybe we'll think about it. Maybe we'll decide to give God something to rejoice over, so that God may rejoice over us as one rejoices at festivals, and we in turn may rejoice that this God is in our midst. That's a somber, sobering thought, 10 days before Christmas. But it's probably better than simply panicking because we don't have all our preparations ready yet. Stop and give it some thought. Think about directions that your life may need to go in, that my life may need to go in, that we as a society may need to go in, that we and God may truly rejoice together as one rejoices at festivals.